What is going on, Sleeper Nation? We're back with an actual IDP episode here. We've been talking about it for quite some time, but we've been kind of pushing it off. And finally, hey, we decided, let's push it. Let's stop procrastinating. Let's get to it. Let's talk some IDP. Of course, I'm with the number one Australian back for this episode. Sheehan, I missed you. I think it was pretty obvious. I missed you last episode.
I missed you too, man. I was putting the sleep into Sleepaway last week. I was saying earlier, I listened to the show. I felt like one of those guys who enjoys watching other men have some horizontal refreshment with his wife. And, you know, halfway through, you were getting well and truly to seen to by our guests. And I probably wasn't that into it anymore. But then it was kind of fun to see you totally destroyed mentally, physically, emotionally. You called me a crying wreck afterwards. So, you know, it's good to be back on with you this week, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to need it. I definitely don't think I got emotionally ruined. I think a year from now, I'm going to be proven right. But I mean, that's for a different story at a different time. Today, we're with Jordan Rains, IDP expert, founder of the IDP Army and IDP 123, man. If there's something he doesn't know about IDP, then it's not worth knowing. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you fellas tonight?
Good, clearly. Man. Well, see, for me, it's tonight. For you, it's tonight. But with Sheehan, I think, five in the morning?
Five in the morning, yeah. It's a three time zone podcast. Might be the first ever in history.
It probably is. And I just want to applaud and give you kudos for your dedication, because I know I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, this is the... what you two mean to me. This is what talking about IDP means to me, that I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and then work a full day from my desk at home and probably nap all day.
Oh, man, that is the life. But of course, Jordan Rains on Twitter, your Twitter handle is Trey Sermons with a couple of emojis. Why?
I'm a Trey Sermon stan. I'm an evangelist is what I call myself. I think a lot of the people in the fantasy world have quickly decided that they were against Trey Sermon for whatever reasons. And now I've seen them start to hedge out of that. But I just want people to know that I was in early on Trey Sermon. You should not have been skipping on Trey Sermon, and that he's probably going to win people a lot of championships this year and for a couple of years coming up. So I want to be in early on Trey Sermon, not late when everybody else gets here.
He's going to be a person I will be reaching for, not only because I am a Niners fan. And of course, you know, I like my Niners running backs, but the Niners did trade two fourth round draft picks in order to trade up in the third to be able to pick him up. So clearly they have some sort of value in him. And, I mean, typically you don't trade up in the draft for somebody you're not going to be using. And, that's my take. I don't know if you guys want to agree with me on that one, but of course, the running backs is not what we're going to be talking about in this episode. We like our IDPs. We like our defensive players. I'm a big advocate for defense. I really like seeing them in dynasty leagues, redraft leagues, and all that. And a lot of people disagree because they feel like it's a lottery pick. I completely disagree with that, just like your kickers. But of course, Jordan, you're going to be the lead in this one because, I mean, you are the IDP expert. And I think a lot of people, they don't use IDP mostly because they don't understand it. I think that's one of the biggest issues. So I'm going to hand you the floor and you're going to tell everybody, you know, the format, the scoring settings, players, the positions to look at when you're taking them in drafts, all that good stuff.
Awesome. All right. So a whole crash course. I'll give you guys as best I can. So first and foremost, the scoring that I recommend and the scoring that I kind of created and branded and promote is IDP 123 scoring. You can read the full write-up on that on dynastynerds.com, but the abbreviated version is essentially 1 point plays are quarterback hits and assisted tackles. 2 point plays are solo tackles and tackles for loss. And then 3 point plays are forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, passes defended, safeties and block kicks. And then you have 6 point plays. Those are sacks and interceptions. So that's IDP 123. And it's a way for your mind to just kind of quickly understand, you know, the value of these plays. Cause, you know, you do hear a lot of people when they talk about IDP not really knowing, you know, there is no true north. There is no cornerstone sort of, you know, semantics that are understood that, you know, you have when you have a PPR, when you have a fantasy conversation and under offense, you know, if you're talking flex, PPR, et cetera. And if you say those things, people understand and you can, you know, commune or, you know, have ideas that, you know, you can at least go back and forth on. In IDP, there really isn't a scoring system besides IDP 123 and then Fantasy Pros has a scoring system as well, but it's a little bit suppressed. It's really known. So when I came into the fantasy space, I created IDP 123 scoring. And it's really, it's intuitive because what I call impact plays, are the 3 point and the 6 point plays. You know, those are the things that make the most impact on a defense on the field. You know, sacks, interceptions, obviously turnovers or great, you know, negative yardage on the quarterback and the loss of downs. Forced fumbles, you know, those are a turnover opportunity. Pass defended, that's, you know, a turnover opportunity as well. You know, it could turn into an interception or an errant pass. Block kicks, safeties, those are loss of downs and moving the downs back as well. So those are just scored more and it's intuitive in that fashion. So if you guys want to know more about that, go check that out on the IDP. Go to idparmy.com. You can check it out there. You can check it out on dynastynerds.com. I post stuff on it. Look at the hashtag on Twitter. So that's kind of the scoring system. And the way I like to play is with three positions. I like to look at the defense as, you know, I kind of cater my content to people that are new to IDP because more people are coming into IDP. It's growing very quickly. So I like to keep it in the format that I think that they're going to be introduced to, which is the way Sleeper has it, which is the defensive line, the linebackers and the defensive back. So you can look at the defense as three levels. You know, somebody that doesn't pay attention to defense really can look at a defensive, you know, scheme and see that there are, you know, kind of three areas of the field these guys are kind of lined up at. They can understand that. Then you can draft your teams based on that in Sleeper. They do a good job giving certain guys dual eligibility, which is something if you guys play fantasy basketball, that's a lot more common in fantasy basketball. It's not super common in fantasy football, but I like the way Sleeper does it with certain like outside linebackers. They're linebacker and defensive line eligible because, I mean, why not? You know, they primarily rush the passer, but depending on their scheme, maybe they're a linebacker. It's a kind of a technicality that some people get caught up in, but I like the way Sleeper has it set up where they just let the user decide. You know, you can play them wherever you want. You can play them at the linebacker spot or the defensive line spot. But then some people do play five positions or true positions, what they call it, which is a little bit muddy in and of itself because there's not any continuity on that either. But that's essentially defensive tackle. You have a defensive end, linebackers, cornerbacks, and safeties. That's a lot more complicated. Because you're learning five positions, you know, on offense, we only have four and two of them are one-offs. You know, if you play IDP, they're trying to get you to play multiples of all these. And if you don't play defensive fantasy football coming into the game, that's a big chunk to take off. You know, that's a lot to chew. And then they also, a lot of people want to promote scoring that is, premium by position. So for instance, a tackle for a linebacker and a tackle for a defensive tackle and a cornerback and a safety and a defensive end would all be different. So the same action on the field would be different. So if you had a defensive tackle, let's say you had Aaron Donald had half a sack and Leonard Floyd had half that sack. They want you to give Aaron Donald 4 points because he's a defensive tackle and they want you to give, the linebacker, Leonard Floyd, 3 points, but it's the same play. So that doesn't really make sense to me. And that's part of the reason that I promote IDP 1-2-3 scoring because it's the same action score, same for every player. So yeah, that's kind of the rundown on IDP 1-2-3 scoring. There is, like I said, fantasy football, everybody plays the way they want to play, but the way I cater my playing fantasy football is the way that's the easiest to play, the most fun to play, and it's going to get more people into it. So.
Well, yeah, I really like the dual position little slot that you can do. I think the last fantasy viable on the offensive side was Jalen Samuels, I think 3 years ago when he went in the RB position. And then for some odd reason, he went inside the tight end position. I think he ruined a lot of people's fantasy football championships 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I think a lot of people are going to agree with me on that one. And then after that, I think they eliminated a lot of dual positions on the offensive side to really avoid that. I think Tavon Austin is the only one that I could come up with on the top of my head that can go in multiple positions, but he's not exactly fantasy viable. So
I think Tebow is a dual position quarterback tight end still on Sleeper.
Dude, if he, here's what's going to happen. You want to hear a hot Tebow take?
Okay.
This is going to happen. Old Trevor Lawrence is going to pull a hamstring or some shit. And Tim Tebow, the tight end, is going to play meaningful quarterback snaps for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Put it on the board. That's fantastic.
I like that take. I like
so
that.
If for no other reason, you need to have Tim Tebow on your fantasy team. People will laugh at you right now. And I'm saying this and I haven't even gone to pick him up yet, but I need to because he's going to end up playing quarterback snaps this year. Watch.
Oh man. You know how that would change the whole game of fantasy for this year if he was to play quarterback. I think leagues like such as Yahoo would have to step in and completely eliminate him from that position. If that were to happen, that would be brutal.
people would freak out.
Oh, yeah.
Say, I did this because I knew this was going to happen. So I don't know. You know, there's some, these things happen sometimes. And I, that's why I like Sleeper. If you get him now and he's both, he's not changing. He's going to stay. Robert Tonyan's a wide receiver tight end. I think he's another guy that's dual designated.
Ooh, so my question for IDP is I've played IDP once and we still had a defense, a designated team defense. Is that still?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I think that's fun. Yeah, you don't have to completely limit it. I like to play, you know, defense kickers and, you know, all the IDPs in the offensive.
That kind of guy.
I'm fine eliminating certain ones, whatever, but I'm fine with stacking a defense, you know, defense and defensive players. It's fun.
So if a cornerback or safety linebacker, whoever gets an interception, wide receivers, of course, you know, they get 10 yards for 1 point. Do they get also a 10 yards per point, or is it 1 yard per point, considering interception is definitely a whole lot harder to get it than a reception.
In IDP 1-2-3 scoring, you know, the interceptions are 6 points, and then I on Sleeper you can add return yards, and on other platforms you can. So I have it set up same as offense. So 10 yards is a point. And I have it set up that way for fumble recovery yards, interception yards, and for sack yards. So because those are the only spots that defenders can actually make yards, unless you do special teams, which you do kick return and punt return yards, which I like doing those too a lot. But if you don't include those, there's no yardage element to the defensive side of fantasy, which is why a lot of people struggle with it, I think, is because everything offensive is linear and forward and up. You go forward, the score goes up. You know, you move the ball this many yards, you get this many points. But on defense, you're scoring it based on actions, not distances. So it's a lot harder for people to, you're playing the same game, but you have to look at it differently. So the only places that I found that you can make yardage elements be included if you include fumble recovery yards, intercept return yards, and sack yards. And when I do that, like I said, I do them the same as rushing and receiving.
Huh. So Sheen, do you have any quick questions before we deep dive into everything?
Yeah, absolutely. When do you start targeting your IDP players in a joint draft?
Yeah, I posted a thread about this I think it's pinned in my profile right now on Twitter. You guys can check that out at 50 Shades of Drunk. But, basically I suggest between round 6 and 10, you want to at least have two IDPs off the board, essentially. That's kind of the TLDR for that. I like to leave those first 10 rounds with at least two or three top tier linebackers, tier one, tier two linebackers, because those guys have high floors and high ceilings if you get, you know, the tier one and tier two guys. And they are, you know, people will tell you that linebackers are a dime a dozen, but that's not, I mean, linebackers are a dime a dozen. Yeah, great linebackers are not. Same as running backs. Every team's got two or three running backs you can play, you know, but you only want to play about half a dozen of them every week, like, you know, and you want to play them. So it's same thing with linebackers. If you don't have one of the top tier guys, yeah, I mean, you got guys going to score you some points, but if you can double stack like a Roquan Smith and a Joe Schobert and like a Devin White, I mean, that's like the equivalent of having like Jonathan Taylor and CMC and Nick Chubb. You know what I mean? Like, wow. Your opponent is going to have a hard time overcoming that with their starting lineup of linebackers or running backs versus. So it's going to give you a little bit of an edge.
So I'm looking at tackles leaders right now for 2020. And right now I have Zach Cunningham with 164 tackles. So in your IDP scoring, your 1-2-3, that means he got, let's see if I remember correctly, he got 164 points minimum, assuming none of them were tackles for a loss.
Yeah, he would get, I can actually tell you exactly how his season broke down last year. So Zach Cunningham last year, he scored 212 points from his solo tackles because he had 106, but he'd get 2 points apiece for those. That ended up accounting for 67% of his total overall points. Zach Cunningham's kind of an interesting linebacker. He's what I call a bread and butter linebacker because he gets most of his points from tackles. He's not an impact play linebacker like a Devin White or Jalen Smith, for instance. So he didn't get a lot of his points from outside the tackle department. He actually ended up with, what are we looking at here? He only ended up with about 10% of his points coming outside of tackle, which you really, for a tier one linebacker, he's the only tier one linebacker that I have that did not do this. You really want to have about 25%. So a little bit more forced fumble, a little bit more tackles, pass deflections in there. But yeah, he had 212 solo point tackles, and then he had 58 from assists.
For reference, that's higher than I think almost every tight end in a half-point PPR scoring league. Of course, you know, if it becomes tight end premium, then that changes the whole story. But
yeah,
that shows then a IDP player or IDP, you know, like a Zach Cunningham, Jalen Smith, and so on and so forth, they're probably more important than an elite tight end.
Maybe not an elite tight end, just because, you know, the cliff from Kelce and Waller is pretty steep. But I would say, you know, they're neck and neck with other positions, you know, offensive positions, I would say, especially, you know, running backs, especially wide receivers. That's where I find I'm able to make most of my IDP trades. If I do make them with a defender for offensive player, it's usually, wide receivers.
So somebody like a TJ Watt last year led the league with 15 sacks. And you said those are 6 points.
Yep.
So he'll see 15 times six. Let me brush up on my math real quick. Let's see.
Is that 90, man?
92?
Yep,
90, 3 points. So 90 just on the sacks. Now, does he double dip sack and tackles, since that is a tackle for a loss and a solo tackle?
He will double dip on the tackles for a loss. So that'll end up stacking. He ended up with 46 tackle for loss points last year. He led the league 23. So, but those do stack. So the sacks end up being a 11 point cumulative play. And some people will tell me, and they'll throw a bitch fit and they'll be like, that's too much for a sack. But I'm like, it's a massive play. One, you know, there's a reason the edge defender position is the premium position in the NFL besides left tackle and quarterback. Like, it matters. So, you know, those sacks in big moments win games. You know, look at Carlos Dunlap. He went to the Seattle Seahawks. He closed out a game for them like the very next week after the Bengals didn't want him. You know, and people just forget that kind of stuff. Like, they won a game because they brought in pass rush help if they need it. Like, and to win an NFL game, you know how hard that is to do. I mean, we talk about it ad nauseum. So, yeah, he double dips. He gets the points for that. So he'll get the tackle for loss points. He'll get the sack points. So that gets him up to 8. He'll get a quarterback hit point. That'll get him 9. And then he'll also get a solo tackle because the tackle for loss is solo. So that's 10, 11. But if you compare that to a 50 yard PPR touchdown, you're going to get 5 for the 50 yards. You're going to get 1 for the catch, and you're going to get 6. So that's a 12 point play. I mean, it's similar. You know, I mean, it really is as far as the way it can affect the game. You know, it's a game changing play.
So right. Theoretically, you could have a player score 25 points on a play if you get like sack, grail, fumble, recovery, run it back.
Yeah, I had a name for it, but it's so rare. I've actually kind of forgot. I think I called it the Holy Grail. Jamal Adams did it not this last year. I don't think anybody did it this last year. No, Jeremy Chin did it this last year.
I think so. I think.
Yeah. And Jamal Adams did it the year before to Daniel Jones. And it's a massive play because, yeah, it's a sack. It's a forced fumble. It's a fumble recovery. And then it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
So you also get the tackle for loss. You also get the quarterback hit. You also get the solo in there. So, I mean, it just stacks all up. Yeah. It's a monster play, but I mean, it's a touchdown. It's so many things. It's so many things happening all at once.
So I'm a big advocate, especially on the offensive side, stacking. I'm a huge advocate. I always recommend stacking a quarterback with a wide receiver, at least a high completion percentage to targets, quarterback to receiver, you know, such as, you know, a couple years ago, it was Wentz to Ertz. Then it was Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill, yada, yada, go on and so forth. You know, Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams, so on and so forth. On defense, would you want to stack like a TJ Watt with the Steelers defense, or would you want to double dip somewhere else?
The way I do that is I would draft like TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick, or I would, take like Jamal Adams and Carlos Dunlap, because I want to get guys that are on disruptive teams together. I would play Montez Sweat and Chase Young, because they can both, on any set of downs, they can both, you know, one guy can get a sack and the next guy can get a sack. So that's another way defense is different. Once a touchdown happens, it's over. The ball goes back to the other side. On IDP, you could theoretically have all three defensive linemen get a sack, a sack, a sack. So you can have three guys on your exact same team get these big 11-point plays for you, theoretically. It doesn't happen a lot. But if, you know, if Chase Young gets a sack on first down and Montez Sweat gets a sack on second down, I mean, that's 22 points, you know, for defensive players. You can't do that on offense because once the touchdown scored, it's over for everybody else. So I would look for disruptive teams. So I'm looking to stack pretty much anybody on Washington, Cameron Curl, Landon Collins, Jamin Davis, Daron Payne, because they're all going to help each other. Whenever Montez Sweat tips a ball, you know, he directly led to Daron Payne, who's a defensive tackle, having an interception this last year. He did the same thing. He tipped another ball, and John Bostic caught an interception. So they help each other in that way. So you want guys on disruptive defenses. So go get San Francisco 49ers players. Get guys that are going to be on the Arizona Cardinals. You know, J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, Isaiah Simmons, you know, Buda Baker. There's going to be balls, loose balls flying around all over the place. Look at what Patrick Queen did, you know, for the Ravens this last year. So good defensive teams begat defensive, you know, plays and scoring opportunities for each other.
So this is all interesting, but of course we want to talk about rookies a little bit. But first, I want to pose a little quick question. Let's talk about some real NFL news. And I kind of just want to get your guys' quick opinion, just to hop off that fact for a little bit. Julio Jones requested a trade, and that's kind of the hot topic of the day. And clearly it looks like he's going to a different team. He already said himself he's not playing for the Falcons next year. Anybody want to have a quick prediction on what team he goes to and how that affects his fantasy value?
I think wherever he goes is going to be down. I think the Falcons are a perfect situation for him at the moment. He's in a good offense. An offense that's going to have to throw a lot. And even with Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley, Julio's still the alpha there. Last time we talked about it, I thought maybe the Colts would be a good landing spot for him. Both in terms of they're going to be able to pay for him, pay up for him. Wentz is a decent quarterback. He's with a good offensive coordinator. I think that's not a bad landing spot compared to like the Raiders or the Patriots, which are other places I've seen him potentially linked to. I would love him in New England. I would be running out to get a Julio Jones jersey. He's my favorite player in the league. So if maybe the Patriots could offer up, I think I tweeted this today, we'll stop making 28-3 jokes and you give us Julio Jones. I think it's that simple.
That's fair. I would take that. I wouldn't take that trade. No. The 28-3 jokes, those are premium. You can't stop making those jokes, but.
Yeah.
Jordan, you got
it? Well, now we can have crazy ass numbers on receivers. So maybe you could wear 28. Maybe you could wear 3. Who knows?
Oh, who's wearing 28? Is James White still there?
Yeah, James White is still there. Goskowski's not. Maybe that racist kicker. Maybe he had 3. We got rid of him. So
I don't know. Jordan, where's he gone?
My picks would be, he said he wants to win. And if that's what he really wants, I think he's either going to go to the Ravens and Harbaugh is going to be like, you're not going to get used that way. But if you want to win, like, come here and help us win. Or he's going to go to Miami because I think Miami is set up real nice. And I know they've gotten, you know, they drafted Waddle and they've got Parker. But I mean, they've got guys, but the guys they've got are all guys we're trying to make them guys that we really want. I mean, I want Will Fuller, but we have concerns, and I want Waddle, but he's a rookie, and Park, you know, I mean, but you add Julio Jones to that mix. And I mean, there's just so much. That's about the only place I could really think that maybe he's still going to lose value, but at least maintain some value. I don't think going to the Ravens would be good for him necessarily from a fantasy point of view, but if he wants to win, I think both of those spots are places he could end up.
Yeah, that is fair. It's a good point. I don't think he goes to Baltimore. It's too much of a run blocking for him. I don't think his ego could handle that. But for reference, Vegas right now, if you bet $10, the Niners currently have the lowest payout at $450. Indianapolis and the Chargers actually at $475. Baltimore is at $600 of a payout. New England $700. Tennessee is actually $1,000. Now Green Bay, this would be interesting. Green Bay, they're at $1,200 of a payout if you go ahead on them. But you would think to make Aaron Rodgers happy, you would get a Julio Jones or some type of receiver like that and just put him across from Devontae Adams, and he would have an elite championship offense. I know it's not that easy and there's logistics and a salary cap, but eventually you got to make something happen.
How much help does Rodgers need? I mean, he's got a great running back. He's got the best receiver in football. He's got a young offensive mind. He gets to call his own plays. He's got a good defense.
He's not happy. And you know,
no, he's never happy. He's never happy.
You got to make him happy. And you know, if you got to, you know,
he's never
cradle the binky, cradle the rattle to make him happy.
Just,
you know,
get the divorce. Lullaby.
Well, we're talking IDP this week, so who else are we going to talk about in our draft night out promo than Dick Night Train Lane, one of the great defensive players of all time? I think it would have been an all-time fantasy season. What did he have? 17 interceptions in a season, something like that. He was known to absolutely blow the doors off on a tackle, I'm sure. Maybe in IDP scoring back in those days, you got 10 points for sending someone to hospital, and probably no one sent more people to hospital than old Night Train himself. But he's in Canton, and you can be in Canton too on Saturday, August 14th at 4 PM, the day before the Fantasy Football Expo. Come along to Draft Night Out. It's $30 for a ticket. You get entry into a live draft, an exclusive t-shirt, and a chance to win some great prizes. including signed memorabilia. Come along, have some drinks, have some food, chat with all your favorite fantasy experts, chat with Nada. It's going to be a good time. And, of course, you're going to be drafting in a room with a whole bunch of fantasy nuffs as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of in-person trash talking. So head on over to draftnightout.com for more information. That's brought to you by us at Sleepwire. It's brought to you by our friends at Eat Sleep Fantasy. It's brought to you by our friends at Draft Buddy USA. And, of course, Prestige Sports Memorabilia. I heard you nail that word last week, Nada. Prestige Sports Memorabilia, not affiliated with Prestige Worldwide.
Thank you. Thank you. I was pretty proud of that, too. So you had me on Trash Talking and Dick Lane, Night Train Lane. You know I like that guy. I like the name even more. I definitely like the trash talking. So, of course, we got IDP rookies to be talking about here. Of course, Jordan, you are the IDP expert, and you have been deep diving these rookies. And how do I phrase this properly? How do you go ahead and rank rookie defenders when they haven't really played an actual NFL snap?
One of the things I look at is just their college production. I mean, that's always one of the easiest ways to kind of determine if a player is going to make it in the NFL. I mean, everyone has a production model coming out. And one of the most, you know, correlated things to NFL production is college production. So that's always one. So, you know, the guys that you would expect to be high producers and that were high producers in college are going to be high producers in the NFL. The others, you know, just listening to the whispers of the draft community and then watching the draft and, you know, seeing the situations they land in. From there, it's just, you know, linebackers are, you know, again, they're the kind of the skeleton key to any team, kind of like a linebacker, the running back is to any offensive team. Like if you have a good one of those, it's going to make up for a lot of things. If they land in the right spots, you know, they're kind of a volume play. They're kind of an arbitrage play like that. So, you know, we had several guys land in good spots this year to produce as rookie, Micah Parsons with the Cowboys, especially with Leighton Vander Esch just not being much of a playmaker. I mean, he played a bit this last year. He got banged up the year before. So injury is a concern with him. He really is just more of a tackling guy. Micah Parsons is a much more dynamic player. So I anticipate he's immediately going to get the volume you need to play every week. Jamin Davis, the Washington Redskins, another guy. There's just nobody there at that middle linebacker position that's really a top tier player. They have John Bostic. And he's just an all-purpose guy. I mean, he might be like he's like your Carlos Hyde of running backs. You know, I mean, he's there. He can do what you need him to do, but he's not going to do anything more than that. So you bring in a young guy like him, I anticipate he's going to immediately take over that role. And like I said just a bit ago, you know, he's immediately a premium player because of the disruptive defense he's on. There's going to be forced fumbles for him to pick up. There's going to be tip balls for him to get. There's going to be open pass rushing lanes whenever he's called upon to do that. So those are the kind of the ways you can kind of just identify. Same as offense. You know, you just look for gaps in where the production is going to go and try to marry the, you know, the player's abilities to a reasonable expectation.
Who are some rookies that you're looking at to take in a draft?
In a rookie draft or maybe in redraft this year?
So let's go over that. So in a rookie draft, for say such dynasty, of course, are you mixing the IDP players with the offensive players, or do they get their own separate little draft?
You mix them together. I've heard the idea floated around they would be separate, but that just, you're going to play the league together. You're going to do trades together. You just make them part of the player pool for your draft. It just adds more, puzzle pieces, you know, to building a team. So it's just more variables. It's a little bit more in depth. Some people don't like it, but there's so many more team building options when you have more variables and more players. It really just makes the game more fun. The way I liken it is to, like having a chessboard, which I got one behind me here, but if you have a chessboard, then you know you have your king and your queen, and then on each side of them, you know, you have a rook and a rook, a bishop, a knight, a knight. Playing fantasy football without IDP players is like setting up your chessboard with only half of your guys. So you only have one rook, one knight, one bishop. If you play IDP, you're setting a full board up. So that's what it is. It's the same game. It's just more variables. So yeah, your draft is going to be more complicated, but it's really not. It's the exact same thing. just more variables. Your week-to-week starting lineup stuff, I mean, it's harder, but it's not. It's just, again, it's a full deck of cards.
So who are you going at? So who are you going at in an IDP rookie draft?
I mean, in my drafts, I'm usually a little bit more inclined to wait. But, I mean, it just depends on who's there offensively and what my team needs. I mean, I have come away with some Micah Parsons this year. I've gotten some Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, who the Browns drafted. I've gotten a good bit of him. I got one or two Nick Bolton shares. There's Richie Grant from the Atlanta Falcons, the defensive back that I've also gotten a little bit of. Those are the main ones. I have missed on Jamin Davis, which I've been kind of bummed about. Zaven Collins, I've passed on him as well in a couple of spots. I might have him in one. I'd have to double check, but I've mostly been getting, like I said, JOK and Nick Bolton and then Richie Grant this year.
So right now you have Jabril Peppers in your little notes section. I kind of wanted to mention him real fast because he is, what is it, a Giants now safety. What kind of potential does he have?
Yeah, for me, you know, as far as a regular draft and not a rookie draft, he's like my number one target to put on my team because, I mean, he has the upside that you want from a defensive back position, but not just a defensive back position, like an elite defensive back position. Like he can do enough on the field to warrant, you know, numbers that other defensive backs just don't have the same ability to do. I don't really know if there's a better way to say that, but, and he's cost effective. So he's not going to cost you what Buda Baker or Jamal Adams, for instance, is going to cost you in the defensive back department. You'll probably be able to get him 3, 4, maybe 5 rounds later. And there's a good chance that he will score on a point per point base, you know, game per game basis with them. So it's just the value of getting a guy like him. He came out of college on fire and then the Browns misused him. So because people got a sour taste in their mouth for him early in his career, they're kind of missing out on what he's been doing since he has been away from the Browns. And that's just be, you know, one of the best defenders in the NFL, in my opinion, one of the best safeties, massively underrated. You know, he had 8 tackles for loss this last year. That was a career high. 2.5 sacks. That was a career high. 11 pass deflections. So he can hustle out there and knock the ball away. That was a career high. And you know, this Giants defense is good. And part of that is them bringing in Jabril Peppers. Part of it's Blake Martinez and other things. But, you know, we all thought Jabril Peppers was going to be a type of player coming out of college. I don't watch college football and I knew who Jabril Peppers was coming out. And I think because he wasn't that immediately, people moved on. You know, I mean, you know how quickly we are in the fantasy community to leave somebody left for dead. I mean, Marvin Jones, every year he gets left for dead. You know what I mean? I mean, when he did it, he was getting left for dead. So we just move on too fast sometimes from guys and it can cause you to miss things. So I'm stacking up as much Jabril Peppers as I can in my, you know, in my startups and in my redraft leagues.
While we're talking defensive backs, always found that it was a bit of a counterintuitive position for IDP. Just the nature of playing defensive back. Is it still, or certainly if we're talking IDP 1, 2, 3, is it still preferable not to target guys that essentially a quarterback won't take, your Stephon Gilmores, these sorts of guys? You want to leave them on the board for someone else to take. And does that filter down into this rookie class? There's obviously some early corners taken, Surtain, Horn. Are they guys you want to avoid as well?
It is going to trickle down. It does affect, you know, the way that you draft your big time. You know, this is, I don't claim to be, you know, a football expert, but there's nuance to being a corner. Some guys are more finesse corners. Some guys are more physical corners. Some guys can prevent you from, you know, making a play. Some guys are making plays on the ball themselves. So you have to, if you have an eye for that and know what to look for and how they're going to get used, that can be helpful for corners. But most of the corners that you hear about, that you know about, are the guys that you kind of don't want, the Jalen Ramseys, the Stephon Gilmores. You know, Stephon Gilmore, he made his hay off the back of his interceptions. Well, he made his interceptions off the back of crappy quarterback. So, I mean, in that nature, I mean, you can just target guys who are playing against crappy quarterback. That may not be indicative necessarily of skills, it is poor position or decision making, but then you can get certain corners that play, like slot corners that where they're going to be playing against tight ends more. So they're going to be getting more opportunities to make tackles because, you know, those are high leverage catch, you know, catch points. So they're going to be able to run up more numbers like a Marlon Humphrey Humphrey type of guy. So it's you kind of have to understand the nuance of the corner in question. As far as the rookies coming in, from what I understand, Horn is the more physical, beat the guys up, meet them at the catch point, you know, make them pay. And Surtain is the more of the finesse guy. That's from what I've understood. So if I was going to target one of those two, it would be Horn. And we forget, you know, they just brought in Trevon Diggs as well, to the Giants or the Cowboys organization. So there's another half decent corner there. So, you know, I don't know what he's going to really do there, but I have full confidence in Horn being first corner off the board, being the more physical type of corner. If I was going to take one, it would be Horn in this class.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out of left field and I'm going to chase the sun. Asante Samuel had 51 career interceptions, which is one of the highest. I'll take the sun. I'll take Asante Samuel Jr., who has a knack for the, like, father like son in those case scenarios. You know, he teaches his son how to get the ball. He teaches him not how to tackle. We don't need tackles. We don't tackle here in the corner, but in the land of cornerbacks. Him personally would be somebody I would go for. But I mean, yeah. I'm a little bit of a high risk player also.
NFL pedigree is an interesting thing. You know, I mean, it really does, I think, make a difference in players, in the way that they kind of know the game. They've been around the game. I mean, a perfect example of that is look at Antoine Winfield Jr. last year. You know, he came in and was an immediate contributor. I mean, iconic, you know, shaking his wagging his finger at my dude Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl, you know, not today, boy, get out of here. See you later. Like that stuff does matter. So there's upside to those guys. So yeah, I'm not against him either.
I mean, it, like father, like son typically always works out in the player's favor. I mean, you see the McCaffreys, the Watts, the Mannings, the only son I could think of that did not succeed would be Jerry Rice Jr. He did not succeed in the NFL. I guess, you know, just being the son of the greatest wide receiver to ever play was not enough, apparently. But let's move on from Jerry Rice and his son's, struggles. Where are you taking like a Jabril Peppers? Like you said, you want two in the 10, before the 10 rounds. Is he a 6th round player or is he like a 10th round player?
That's a great question. I'm going to check a reference point here real quick to double check myself, but just off the cuff, I imagine, you know, just in looking at a draft board in my head, he's probably going to be going off the board round 9 to 11 would be my guess. And I think that's a reasonable place for him to go. Here, I got a draft board here a month ago.
So while you're looking that up, I'm looking also at your notes. You have Derwin James written down and Aaron Donald. So Aaron Donald, I know he's an all pro, best D tackle in the league. He's probably one of the best edge rushers in the league also at that. Well, I mean, how hard is he to get? Cause he's for sure going to be what, a 6th round guy, or is he also a 10th rounder?
He usually goes pretty high. In the draft I'm looking at right now, Aaron Donald looked like he went in the 8th round. So that's pretty high, for a defender, especially considering you can get some guys like DeForest Buckner a little bit later. Oh no, I'm looking at a different one. Looks like he went in the 16th round here. So that's pretty reasonable in a startup. The age has started to catch up with him. I will say that I'm seeing that reflected in ADP and in drafts. Last year he was definitely like generally the first defender taken. If it wasn't Darius Leonard, it was Aaron Donald. This year I'm seeing that a lot less, but Jabril Peppers is good to go somewhere in that 9 to 11 range is where I'm usually going to be looking to get him in a startup. Just because he's going to offer you again so much more than, you know, like an Anthony Harris will offer you, you know, these guys that you're going to get 10, 11 rounds later that people will tell you get you similar production. You know, how many matches have you, I know I, every year you win and lose matches by single points and less. Every point matters. Every pick you make in your draft matters. And every time that you say, well, I'll make that value up somewhere else, you're really, in my mind, leaving yourself vulnerable more often than not. I'm looking at a different one. This is a draft from January. He went in the 18th round of a startup. That's a steal for Peppers.
Oh, that's pretty rough. So you also have Peppers compared to Derwin James. That kind of scares me a little bit, considering Derwin James hasn't played an NFL down in, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I had him on a player that I'm a little bit lower on. I'm a little bit higher than the consensus on Jabril Peppers, like I said, because I feel a lot of people, he's came out of the gate slow. I'm a little bit different on Derwin James, and I'm with you. I'm a little hesitant on him. A fun fact about him that a lot of people, really just don't know. You know, he had the rookie season, and we all know that, and everybody loves, that's the memory everyone has, the great rookie season. But he's played football since then. He played 5 whole games in 2019, and he played 98% of snaps, 98% of snaps, 100, 100% of snaps. He played a third of a season. Guess how many top 24 defensive back performances he had in those 5 games?
5.
0.
Ooh.
0. Okay. So your last memories of Derwin James, you're suppressing them. Most people are suppressing them because it wasn't as good as you remember. So I'm skeptical of Derwin James. Dude's been in walking boots. You know, dude's torn his meniscus. Dude's hurt his shoulder. You know, he's a free, they play him at free safety a lot. There's just so many things about him in his season as a rookie that I just don't know if he can replicate that kind of IDP success. So for me, he's a guy that's a little bit lower. Now, I know everyone loves him, and I'm not saying he's not a good safety. He's a good safety. But you can be a good safety and not be an elite IDP safety. Harrison Smith is a great example of that. Tyrann Mathieu is a great example of that. Minkah Fitzpatrick, elite safeties, but they don't produce the way that elite IDP safeties do, which those guys generally, they're just used a little bit differently. They have more box snaps, rushing the passer, things of that nature.
Now, that's pretty interesting. Fun fact on Derwin James, he's actually a big Madden fan, and he actually, for the NFL stream, he streams for the Madden channel every so often. He used to host tournaments where he played actual NFL players. Unfortunately, he was pretty seasoned at the game and everybody else wasn't, so they weren't very interesting games. He would just demolish them. But that's for a different story for a different time. Sheehan, while I have you here taking your sip of your McDonald's Coke, making me a little bit jealous, are there any IDP guys you're interested in? And
I was going to ask, given we're talking about safeties and whether an elite safety is a good fantasy safety, and obviously we talked about hybrid guys earlier, where do those kind of hybrid safety linebackers come into it? I know there's a few of those kind of chess piece guys in the rookie class this year. The guy's name escapes me for the Jets, like the 6'4". Maybe he's a safety. Maybe he's a linebacker dude.
I can't remember his name either.
Are they guys to target as safeties?
Yeah. If they have a dual designation and you think they're going to be playing linebacker snaps, a good Jeremy Chinn this last year. He's a strong safety, but he was playing some linebacker snaps, and he is dual designated as a linebacker/safety. That's a great player to have. Jabril Peppers is also actually designated as a linebacker on Sleeper. So if you can get guys like that, that's always a plus. If you can get a guy that's going to play linebacker snaps and he's a safety, that's a good thing.
And I'll throw out 2 names here from this rookie class as well. And it's probably 2 guys fighting for the same position. Gregory Rousseau and Boogie Basham for the Bills. Are they guys you see as high fantasy upside?
Yeah, I do for Rousseau. He coming in was, you know, he was the guy that I kind of had heard the most about originally. The Bills need pass rushing help. They have veterans. And I keep hearing people talk about it's Mario Addison and Jerry Hughes are their veterans. The people keep saying, oh, yeah, the Bills love them, you know, and they're happy to have them. I'm like, they just took back-to-back rushers, you know, and last year they took AJ Epinesa. I'm like, people are like, oh, they're going to project as a starter. So I'm like, yeah, but I mean, you saw how, I mean, like, they're going to get pushed out, especially if these guys are capable of anything. Now, the Basham kid, I know he wasn't injured, actually. That was the guy for the Colts. So, yeah, I mean, there's opportunity here for them to carve out starting roles.
There's opportunity, especially because that Bills defensive line was very, I'd have to say, very weak last year. And I haven't taken a shot at you, Jordan, all episode yet. But if the Bills had a pass rush, I think they would have beat the Chiefs in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. And that is, it wouldn't have taken much either, honestly. I mean, Mahomes was shook up like the whole postseason. I don't know what was going on. They do need pass rush help. They need a run game too.
Nah, Josh Allen is their running game, man. As me owning a plethora of Josh Allen shares in dynasty leagues, he is going to be the designated running back, and that'll never, or I at least I hope that never changes.
I love Josh Allen.
There we go.
I love Josh Allen as well. You're right. He's going to be their running back at least until he gets absolutely blown up and they decide that maybe our Rolls Royce doesn't need to be plowing a field.
No. The Rolls Royce needs to be doing everything. It needs to turn into a Bugatti at that point. It needs to start doing some all-wheel drive foresting drives. That's what we do around here. So give me some sleepers, Jordan. And I think we're going to have to sign everybody off soon.
Yeah. So for as far as rookie sleepers, and I'll just give you guys those because that's what everybody's going to want. We have Jabril Cox from LSU, one of the best coverage linebackers coming into this class. He was also picked up by the Cowboys. I think it was the third or fourth round, I believe. You know, the Cowboys, they, like I said, I think Leighton Van Der Esch is already 1 foot in the grave, 1 foot out the door. Jalen Smith is on a big contract. This will be his second year on the contract. I don't know what their cap hit is going to be next year if they get rid of him. But they're preparing for the future is what it looks like. They've racked up a lot of money in Jalen Smith. He's already played five or four seasons for them, though. He's already made his money. He's going to make a little bit more on his way out. They're preparing for the future. So I'm very interested in Jabril Cox. He's already gotten it's rookie mini camp, but he already has gotten a little bit of a flash from some of the beat writers and some people I follow on Twitter. Caught an interception, did some other stuff. I don't know. So they like what they got with him. And he was kind of an explicitly fell. A lot of people thought he would be drafted higher than he was. So the Cowboys got him. And then Chaz Surratt, the quarterback turned linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings. This is another guy who went to a situation where Eric Kendricks is, I believe, 27. Anthony Barr is 27, 26, 27, 28, something like that. They're just a little old at linebacker. They let Eric Wilson go in free agency or just let him go sign with the Eagles and didn't pick up his contract. So they got Chaz Surratt. He was one of the highest scoring, as far as, you know, I said earlier, one of the best ways to know if guys can be productive. One of the easiest correlations you can look at is if they were productive from a fantasy point in college. And Chaz Surratt was one of the highest scoring linebackers, not just of this class, but all time, in IDP 1-2-3 scoring as far as this last season. He was up there close to guys like Darius Leonard and Luke Kuechly, the kind of seasons they had in college. He's putting up those kinds of numbers. So if he gets an opportunity to kind of slide in like Eric Wilson did at some point, if Barr gets re-injured or if somebody goes down or if they move on from Barr or he ends up just beating him out for playing time, he transitioning from that quarterback position to linebacker proved well for him. So, those are the two guys that I would call sleepers because I don't anticipate them necessarily being starters at the start of the season, but I could see them being meaningful players for you in fantasy football, in IDP fantasy football, at some point this year and going forward.
Yeah, I like Chaz Surratt. I watched a lot of tape on his brother, who's a receiver at Wake Forest, Sage Surratt, who I don't hold in much regard, but very intelligent guy. I assume Chaz is the same. So for, you know, quarterback can turn linebacker, smart guy, like he feels like, as you say, like that Luke Kuechly type. I assume Kuechly's, you know, a once in a generation type, but yeah, that seems like a great pick to me. When you're looking at your sleepers, what are you targeting? Do you want, you know, guys on bad defenses that teams are going to run at, or?
Well, I'm looking at sleepers. I'm always thinking next year. You know, I'm looking at guys. It's already a fourth or a fifth round pick in my rookie draft. It's already garbage anyway, so I don't expect anything from it. This guy's going on my taxi squad, or he's going to get dumped as soon as the next pretty waiver wire guy comes up, or, you know, the next, you know, cool catch on the sideline comes up for Des Fitzpatrick or whatever it may be. So I'm looking at those kinds of guys. Got like Jordan Brooks slash he wasn't the linebacker anybody wanted to take of that class, but because he wasn't going to do anything this last year, but now this year, you know, he's going to do something because KJ Wright's gone. They basically said he is going to be the starter. So I'm looking at the guys that are for next year. So that's kind of where those, you know, Cox and Surratt came in is, I'm just looking at the core of linebackers in front of them. Are they preparing so that next year they don't have to draft a linebacker? Are these guys just going to be seated in? That's kind of how I look for.
All right, there we go. Now, that's going to have to wrap up this episode. I think it's super interesting. I like talking about niche little types of setups, little types of scoring system, because I think it brings a lot of attention to a lot of people that are looking to spice up their fantasy lineup, especially because it can get kind of stale. And I think if the best thing you could do is super flex or tight end premium, I don't think you're doing it enough or doing it right. But other than that, Jordan, tell everybody where they could find you.
Yeah, go check out idparmy.com. You can find links there to the podcast. Go to the YouTube page, IDP Army, the IDP Army on YouTube. Yeah, follow me on Twitter at 50 Shades of Drunk. I tweet fantasy football stuff, mostly IDP stuff, and also just anything I want because it's my fucking Twitter. So come hang.
There we go. Now, Sheehan, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, as always, I'm Sheehan Solo on Twitter. Again, tweet all sorts of crap. Yesterday I was tweeting about a sequel to Con Air, but it was also Fast and the Furious 10, where Cameron Poe would have to be on the plane transporting one of the Shaw family, and it all goes wrong. The only person who can save the day is Dom Toretto. So if you want to talk about that, if you want to talk about all sorts of fantasy rubbish as well, then come over at Sheehan Solo, as always. It's good to be back on with you, Nato. Thanks for coming on, Jordan. It's been great.
There we go. Now, of course, remember to like, subscribe, and leave a review on, of course, your favorite podcasting platform, a.k.a. The Sleeper Wire Show. And check us out at Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show. Or you can check me out on Twitter at Top Tier Tactics with a little underscore at the bottom of there, where you can watch me ignore you and angrily tweet at people who don't respond to my tweets right away. Yeah, you know who you are, whoever's listening. And don't worry, I'm going to do it again and again and again. But other than that, guys, good luck, everybody.